Blog Talk Radio.
Way back in the Bible, the Hebrew language says that we were taught that we could praise the Lord in seven ways. Seven great expressions, seven different flows, seven ways to worship God, and this is how it goes. Sacrifice, praising God in spite of the fact your world is in a vice. It's praise that pushes through the wall of all adversity, an offering that flows to heaven in our time of need. Somebody say mine,
mine.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
Say body,
body.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord.
Combination of the rest.
It's singing.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Place. I'm Starla, and tonight we'll be talking about faith and praise. And remember, if you're listening for the first time, just press 1 to join in the conversation. Many times I've heard people pull a scripture out of context or part of a scripture when it comes to faith and praise. I wonder sometimes if we really understand the importance of both. I'm sure that all of our listeners could give you the scripture definition of what faith is, but could they tell you how to apply it? When it comes to praise, most people will tell you what word is the highest form of praise, but is it really? I don't think you can have active faith without praise. And on the other side of that coin, I don't think you can have real praise without faith. But as always, we don't claim to be experts and look forward to your thoughts on the subject. And now, without further ado, here's our host, Wild Bill.
Well, hello, Starla. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. This is a topic that's near and dear to Starla and myself right now because we're going through some issues where you have to sort of stand on faith, and it's one of those things to where it's sometimes feels like you're standing on a slippery slope and really trying to understand what faith really means. And, you know, we can all quote the scripture. Well, I say we can all quote the scripture. I was sitting there trying to think of it today, and my mind went just as blank as could be. But, Starla, can you tell us what the definition of faith is according to the Bible? I'll put you on the spot.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah, that's Hebrews 11. And then 12 goes on to say, and for by it the elders obtained a good report. And, you know, it's through, and it goes on to explain, you know, through faith, you know, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God and, you know, that things which are seen were not made of things which do not appear. And it's, you know, in one sense, faith is one of those things that you can look at and say, okay, well, I believe in God and I believe in the Bible. And, you know, when somebody's sick, you know, I can believe God's going to heal them. And when people are going through trials and tribulations, you can pray and believe, you know, things for other people sometimes. But then when it gets to where the rubber meets the road, when something happens and you're sick or you're in a situation of finance or with jobs or, you know, having to do with relationships with people and even relationships with things having to do with your church, it's one of those things that I have to admit. And it's one of those things I'm embarrassed to admit. But many times I have real good faith as long as God moves really quick. You know, you pray for something, you get an answer like, woo, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, appreciate that. And then there's those times you pray for things and you're like, where's the answer? I'm looking, Lord. Oops, not over here. Nope, not over there. Oh, Lord, I better go do something, you know, and then you try to reach out and take care of something. And I remember when I was a kid, I used to love Western movies when I was a kid. My mom can tell you that I used to get just really emotional with some of the things sometimes. But I remember that someone had fell off a horse one time and they were hanging off the side of this huge cliff and they were hanging onto a root. And the person was trying to help them, you know, stick their arm down there, you know, right to them. But they had to reach up just a little bit higher than where they were to take that person's hand. And they just couldn't quite get just enough faith to let go and believe that that person was going to be able to pull them up. And so what happened, as you can guess, the root pulled loose from the dirt and they go tumbling off down in the canyon. And that was the last you ever saw them again. They was gone, you know, till next week when they came back as another character or something. But real life doesn't quite work that way as far as getting to come back. There's not a whole lot of do-overs on things when it comes to this life. But it does, the visual there, you know, so many times God's sitting there with his hand, you know, sitting out there and, you know, here, take my hand. And we got this death grip on this root. And we're like, you know, I've got to hang on. I've got to do this in myself. And, you know, God never told us that we had to just hang on, you know, to things on our own. You know, I remember in church so many times I used to hear people say that man, things couldn't get any worse, and, you know, I'm just at bottom and everything, but, you know, I'm not giving up. I've tied a knot in the bottom of my rope, and I'm just hanging on. And, you know, I don't believe God ever told us to just hang on to a knot at the end of the rope. I believe in every situation he's got his hand out, and he's saying just reach up a little bit higher, and, you know, here I am. And, you know, so many times, I remember someone had made a comment one time. They was talking about the elephant that went across the bridge, and the mouse was on his back. And then when I got to the other side, the mouse said, man, we sure shook that bridge, didn't we? And I think sometimes that, you know, we want to put self-importance on things that we lean out to God to try to help us with. But one of the things, you know, we understand faith is the substance of things hoped for. But we also know that without faith, we can't please God. And so is it strictly just to be a hoping kind of faith? You know, is there to be some reaction and action? When you pray for something and faith moves God and you pray in faith and you believe, then wouldn't your reaction to automatically be to go to praise? But, and another part of that, you know, can you not imagine people, you know, you're sitting there and other people know your situation, you're giving God praise, like, whoo, yeah, you know, I had this situation here, and, you know, we had all these extra bills came up, and we're going to be able to pay this or that, and we prayed, and, you know, God, if, you know, he's made a way. Well, have you paid your bills yet? Well, no, but God's made a way. Well, you know what, have you got a check in the mail, or is there something coming, or, you know, what's the deal on this? Well, God's made a way. I don't know how, but he's, you see what I'm saying here? It's one of those things that's real easy to say, but it's another to really do, because I don't believe praise can be a lip service thing. I don't think it's one of those things where you can sit there and be all trembly and shaky and say, Lord, I thank you. Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you for helping me with this, and thank you for helping me with that, and thank you for answering my prayer. You see what I'm saying? It's got to be more from the heart. And I played that song at the beginning there because, they characterized there that there's seven kinds of praise. And I was amazed, and you can all do this the same way. If you go looking up the word praise in the Bible, I can't even talk, it actually shows you, see if I can find where I made myself some notes here. Yeah, the definitions of praise, it shows there's 32 different definitions in the Bible of praise. And it didn't mean it was different types of praise or different kinds of praise, but it was different definitions. And some of this had to do with the yin and yang, or, you know, how you know, the positive part of praise, and then how praise could be turning it around as a word to be going against something. For those, you know, that don't praise and things like that, you know, there was words that had to do with that. So it was, interesting. But, you know, we got to seven basics. And then also on worship, I was surprised. I think there was actually 36 different words in the Bible that shows a definition for worship. And I was like, man, you know, it's, you know, kind of, you know, wow, how do I come up with figuring out what's what? And then when I looked at faith, there was 11 different definitions of faith. And but there again, all these words had a thing to where you could look at, like where the Bible talked about ye of little faith. Well, there was another word there that talked about those who were of little faith. And then but there was the positive words that had to do with it, which I wasn't going to try to pronounce any of those. And but I one of the things that, is when you get to look at things of God and things of the Bible, the key to everything is how do you apply faith? And, you know, it's one of those things that to really apply faith means that you're totally dependent, leaning on God to make things happen. If your faith is of things of God, now you can have faith in man. You can have faith in health. You can have faith in doctors. You can have faith in a lot of things. And I'm not saying that there's not all those kinds of faith that you can have. You can have faith that if I got a dollar bill in my pocket, that I can go down to the service station and get a quart of gas. You know, you can have faith in that. And, you know, you can have faith that if you got, you know, almost $4 in your pocket, that you can go down there and get you a gallon of gas. You know, so there are certain things, you know when you go up there that, you know, that's what it's going to be. But do we really have that same kind of faith when it comes to the things of God? Do we really believe that we have like this spiritual wallet that we can reach down and we can dig out and we can pray and we can believe that this is prayed for, that this is done, this is paid for, this is going to work, this is the price? You know, this is the, and I'm probably not wording this very well, but the whole process is it one of those things that you truly stand and believe on, or is it one of those things that we just say a lot? And, you know, I have faith in God. You know, I know we have to have faith in our salvation because we couldn't see it. Now, we could feel the difference before repentance and after repentance. You can feel the difference in before the Holy Ghost and after the Holy Ghost. You can even feel the difference in before you're baptized and after you're baptized. So there's this feeling that goes along there, but can you really, without faith, know that what you did was part of what you was to do for your salvation? Or is this one of those things to where you're going through the motions and you don't really know? And that has to come from the heart. That's not anything. That's part of that where we talked about that relationship before. And the same thing that comes with praise and worship. You know, it's one of those things to, I know that I've heard many people say that hallelujah is the highest form of praise. And there were several different definitions on the word hallelujah. And it was some of those made it look at, if you go back into the older dictionaries, the word hallelujah wasn't actually a praise. It was a call to praise. So when they said hallelujah, it was kind of like that was a time for everybody to praise. It could be either a praise with song. It could be a praise in dance. It could be a praise in a shout, in clapping of hands, of lifting of hands. There were so many different things to that. And then today we sort of broke it down into hallelujah being a form of praise. And so that's one of those things that, you know, I don't know where the difference in that came up, and which I'm not going to argue with. One of the things I found really interesting, which I'm sure this is not going to be news to anyone here, and if I can find my place to where I lost it. It's so fun with computers. You have something sitting up on a screen, you look, and all of a sudden it's decided it wanted to go somewhere else. But all of us know that if you want to look at praise, you can go to the 150th Psalm, and it sort of lays out, you know, how to praise. And I'm going to go ahead and read that for you. And let's start it. Do you have your Bible out there? Do you want to read the 150th Psalm for us? I think she's done deserted me. Well, I will go ahead and read this here. Psalms 150, starting at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And I don't think you can get more definitive as to the different kind of praise is what you have right there. And I wonder, does anyone else have a comment that they would like to make on how they feel that faith and praise come together? I know I was talking to Blog Talk Mom about this earlier today. And are you out there with us, Blog Talk Mom?
I am. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just excellent. And yourself?
I'm doing fine. We're in a storm here, and if it may have gotten quieter, but a while ago that it was so loud that I didn't know if it would drown us out. But you're on a wonderful subject. I think it's probably the highlight of Pentecostal. All of everything we do is wrapped up in worship and praise. And it takes
place
to do that, doesn't it?
It is. It's one of those things that, you know, we understand that we go to church and they have a part of the services designated for worship, and we have a part of the service for prayer and, you know, prayer for the sick, and then we have the part that goes to the preacher to teach. But, you know, I've never, of course, it's funny, it's when you're in the spot that's, you know, hard, when you're between a rock and a hard place there, I'll get this right in a second, that's when it seems like all of a sudden you realize, maybe I don't really understand, you know, what something really means. You know, it's one of those things you've heard all your life, and you understand, you know, it's time for the praise and worship service. And it was amazing to me that praise and worship is so similar in so many ways, but yet worship in a lot of the definitions has to do with, you know, bowing down, you know, being submissive to a higher power, you know, and we, you know, a lot of times we count those two words as being the same, where praise is more an outward showing of what's going on inside. And I wonder sometimes if the praise and worship is an outward sign of our faith, you know, because there again, you know, we there's a lot that we don't see. We take, you know, the God's word as being the holy word of God, but still, it's when it gets right down to where, like I say, where the rubber meets the road, trying to put faith in action is a lot easier said than done. And you've been on this walk a lot longer than I have, and not saying that you're old or anything, but I could have just left that part out, couldn't I? But anyway, I'd like to hear your input on this.
Well, for praise, in my prayer time, for years I've used the prayer clock, and it's like 5 minutes. Unless the Holy Ghost takes over, it's 5 minutes in each segment. And you begin by praise, and you praise Him. You praise the Lord for who He is, not necessarily for what He's done. You acknowledge that He is, I start with A, He is my advocate, and I thank Him for the times that He has been my advocate, my personal advocate, and my blesser, for the benevolent God. You know, go through and take the time to tell Him and rejoice in who He is. And then we praise and we thank Him for what He's done specifically for us. But worship, you can worship God in tithing. You can worship Him by visiting the sick. And I think it's Matthew that he said that I was in prison and you visited me. All the different times that at the judgment there that he said that they did these things, and they said, well, when we didn't ever see you sick, or we never did see you thirsty. And he said, if you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. So worship is much deeper, and much the faith of worship is just much richer. And when I think of worship, it's abandonment to pride, and you've got one thing on your mind, and that's just adoring God and worshiping Him, and then in a life of service. If a person, you know, an empty wagon rattles the loudest, and if you know, you have, and I've been guilty, you know, maybe I don't want to blame myself, but anyway, there are times that people, they jump really high, and then when they come down, they don't walk very straight. So it's a combination of the way we
that
live.
Hurt their knee.
The way we, you know, it's a combination of things.
Yeah.
It's hard to be, really be worshipful if our life is not in tune with the plan of God at that very moment, actually.
It's good. One of the things that when I was looking up the word faith, I found a couple of definitions that just really stood out at me on the different words that had to do with faith. And one of them had to do with a primary word to anticipate with pleasure, expectation, abstract or concrete of confidence. And I thought, wow, to anticipate with pleasure. Now, you talk about something easier said than done. I know my answer's coming. They're coming to repo my car on Friday, Lord, and here it is Wednesday, and we're at church, and I'm taking great pleasure and anticipation knowing that you're waiting to the last minute once again to come in and rescue me. But, you know, it was always, I keep going back to the story that I tell about when I was little and I was in that swimming pool and I was about to drown. It wasn't a faith thing. But, you know, I remember how it was when all of a sudden I felt hands come up out from below me in the water as I was going down for that last time and lifted me up. And when you get to thinking about faith, you know, now there I had no faith. I thought, this is it. You know, I've struggled as much as I could and everything to go in. But in that same process, God's doing the same thing as that person was that rescued me. It's not that he's not aware. It's not that he's standing on the sidelines wanting us to struggle and go through trials and everything. He's there to rescue us, but it's got to be, you know, it's going to be at the right time. And, you know, it's through the fire and through the tribulation that our faith is made stronger. So that when we do come across harder and more difficult things, that it's actually easier to lean upon him and trust in him and to anticipate with pleasure the things of God. But getting there, it's like going to school. Man, I tell you what, I used to just, some of the classes in school I just hated. But you finally got to that point to where you got that diploma at the end and, you know, you graduated. And you, of course, at that point you thought, well, I know everything now, which, you know, mom and dad used to always say, you know, you're so smart, you know, why don't you fix the world or something? I don't think that's exactly what they said. But, you know, it's like, you know, you feel like you had all the answers. And when you get older, you look back and you're like, I was clueless. Just because I had that diploma and I had a little bit of knowledge. I remember someone told me one time that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. But the other definition of faith here, it says, in upon or with respect to a person or a thing that is a credit by implication to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. And you believe it's a commitment to trust, to put trust in with him. And, you know, we talked about that before, about the relationship. But sometimes I think we forget that respect part. I think we forget who we are and who he is.
Amen.
You know, it's not like we're co-equal here. And, you know, like, God, I need this. And he's like, okay, well, because, you know, you told me I had to, you know, I'm going to do. You know, we can kind of wrap our fingers around mom and dad sometimes to get things. And the Bible does let us know that if our Father wants to give us good things, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to give us good things? But it's not one of those things we're not going to manipulate him. We're not going to use a little psychology and, you know, manipulate things around. It's going to be on his terms when it comes to the things of God. It's going to be because we have bent our will to be part of that relationship. And that brings me up to the other part here, the word of faith, where it talks about a straight reed, a rod, a rule. And that's figuratively of faith in practice by implication of boundary, that is a spear or a line or a rule. You know, and to realize that faith is a boundary that we can measure up to, that we can, you know, because you have what I said before, to be a commitment with, to put trust with, in, to be in a boundary. You know, a boundary is one of those things that a lot of times we think, well, you know, I'm not going to be confined or something like that, but a boundary can be a safety area.
Mm-hmm.
If we commit ourselves to be in faith, to trust in God, to be lined up with him on this side of the boundary, to know that we're safe here, that this is a safe place for us. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I got to thinking about that, I thought, wow, to truly understand that I need to have not just the word faith, but I need to take pleasure in my relationship with God, to believe in him, to know that he's there, that I can diligently seek him, and he's a rewarder for those that do this. You can look through his word and see, what's the Bible say? I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. You know, what does it say about the lilies? I'm drawing a blank here, Blog Talk Mom. Can you help me out there?
About when the Lord said that just consider the lily, when he was preaching, he used the object that he had created to use for illustrations. I thought that was so interesting, because he created all things. And he said, consider the lily. You know, there's not anything, he said, any more beautiful that Solomon and all, I mean, I'm paraphrasing for sure, but Solomon with all of his riches could not be dressed in any robes as beautiful as a lily. Just consider, the Lord says, you know, it's here today and then cast in the oven, it's over with, trampled underfoot, whatever. And if God can adorn just a flower, how much more we are created the very crown of his creation. And he knows these things are going to work together for our good. Even in that particular passage, there was, I got confused when it said, consider the raven. Now, in the one place in Matthew, it says, consider the fowls of the air. And then Luke said, consider the raven. And I had put sparrow because it did say that he knows when a sparrow, if there's two sparrows, one falls, he's mindful of that. But when I was thinking about the raven, I thought, well, a raven, you know, I know that the raven fed Elijah, I believe it was, and then the raven that went out of when Noah sent out the raven to see when it was time, and it never came back. But all of the horror movies and my years and years ago, Edgar Allan Poe, you know, just the raven had a really bad connotation in my mind. And then I've seen ravens run off little songbirds with, and then they've got that ugly, just terrible. And I was just sort of pondering that in my heart, when why he would use, you know, consider the raven. And then as the Lord began to speak to me, you know, you think about the people that could care less about God. They don't pay tithe. They don't go to church. They don't back up anything. They aren't interested in the Word of God. They never seek God. They never, that's the last thing on their mind. And God said, he's mindful of them. And I thought about the time that Billy Joe, you know, my brother and your uncle, I was praying at home. We lived on Bethany Road, and I hadn't had a lot of experience of just really getting lost in the Spirit and the Holy Ghost just taking over and just praying. And I was just seeking God, and his anointing was there. Coming to find out, Billy Joe had got too much to drink, and he had walked down and thought for some reason it'd be cute to lay down on a railroad track down there in North Little Rock. And so there he did. He just laid down on the railroad track. Well, I didn't know that, but God knew that. And so he had a man and the man said later, he said, I never do that. He said, I just got a real desire to walk down the railroad track. Well, that's God. Consider that. God walked away for someone, you know, that wasn't even interested at that time at all, but because we pray and because we get in line with God and we worship him and we praise him, it opens the door for God to go and to touch and set people free and to watch over and protect them. There's a lot to that in praising God. It's just like a light bulb or anything else. It's got to be connected. And when we start praising him, that is faith. That's saying, God, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it, but I'm praising you because I know that you know what's going on, and that you're good, and you're God, and you're gracious, and you're merciful, and I'm crying out to you, Lord. And so it for it to really be real praise and real worship, then it's got to be mixed with faith so that it's real, so that it's actually not just words, because he said we're not going to be known for just a lot of talking. You know, don't think you're that just a lot of noise is what it's got to be something that, like you said, it's got to be mixed with believing and trusting and relying upon him. And then it's acceptable to the Lord. That's good. I'm enjoying this.
Well, I'm enjoying this too. I was reading, we were looking for a scripture here a couple weeks ago, and it's funny how you can get certain things where you look for you know, different things, and a scripture came to mind in the middle of all that about where, I think it's Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And, you know, so many times things seem like they're really, you know, not looking too good. But when you realize what God said here, if we wait upon him, and I was sitting here trying to bring everything to mind as to, you know, how this all fits together. And you know, especially when you get thinking about faith and the things that you pray about and everything. And there was another scripture that says something about, I think it's Isaiah 40 and 30, where it talks about even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So it lets us know that within our own strength, we can't, you know, we're lacking. But if you look at the verse before in 29, Isaiah 40, 29, he said, he gave us power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. So when you're trying to figure out what you're putting your hope in and what it is that you really believe, when you really just stop and think about it, you know, it's not that God is troubled by anything that comes our way. It's not that he's surprised when something new comes, you know, across what we're facing and everything. And, you know, when you have to make a stand, when you got to decide, okay, am I going to stand on what I know is right in principle and scripture to be doing what God wants me to do, or am I going to do what man says I have to do, or what job says I have to do, or what medicine says I have to do, or family or friends or pride or whatever it is that puts up there that comes against what God has to say. It has no power against the things of God when you stop and look at it. When you talk about something we'll be thankful for, our God is not one of those that he's off on weekends and, you know, like, hey, it's after 9 o'clock, sorry, you got to wait and call back tomorrow. You know, or, yeah, I know you're in a tie right now and you need that instant help when you're on the ice and you're sliding down the interstate and you're totally out of control and you're fixing to come across stop traffic up here in front of you. He's not a God that can't be troubled right then. You know, and that's one of those things. And there was a couple of other scriptures here. Isaiah 40 and 26 says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, not one that faileth. You know, are we listening to what it says or what we're trying to have faith in? And then I think it was, let's see if I got it up here. Oh, talking about us being weary and everything, how he's offered to add more to us, where you like, you know, has he got a bank of this stuff or anything? But in Isaiah 40 and 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. In other words, it ain't like he's got to ponder this and think about it a little bit. It's like, oh, let's see, what am I going to do here? You know, there is no searching of understanding with him. You know, he's got this all nailed down as to what it is. And so many times in life, you know, we want to take things and put it down to our level to where we can look at everything. Of course, when you read about, you know, the different scriptures and things, you know, I was reading in the 2 Corinthians about Jehoshaphat, you know, this army was coming after them, and, you know, it was several armies, you know, and he knew that the army of the Lord, you know, wasn't strong enough to go out. Now, part of you would think in faith that you could think, okay, I can go out with the army of God, and none of these people can stand. But the king was fearful, so he went to the people that of the church, or I'll say the church, or the rulers there of the synagogue, or how would you word that? I guess it wasn't that. It was, I'm trying to think who it was. Do you know who it was, Blog Talk Mom, that he was talking to there, that he had him, you know, go with him before God? He prayed before God himself, but then he also went to the spiritual leaders of the time, and I'm drawing a blank as to who that was. Do you know?
Well, priests, they had the priests and the prophets and all along, but he was the head of the tribe that you're going to say that he chose praise. That he went out and he
prayed. Yeah, that was one of the things, you know, he prayed, and then, you know, it wasn't just that they, you know, when God answered, they immediately bowed down in worship to him, but then it wasn't like they just sit there or did anything like that. You know, God told them, said, you know, this battle's mine, but then they sent out the people to the front singing praise to God. You know, you would think if you got an enemy coming against you, you'd put your heaviest armored men to go up there at the front, you know, but that wasn't what it was all about. They took God at his word, and they went out and just, you know, sent this group of people singing up there at the front, and I was just amazed, you know, of the faith that they had to do that. And But, you know, he consulted with the people. That's one of the things I was trying to figure out what it was there. And he consulted with the Levites and, you know, the different people. And they stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice is what they did first. And then they appointed singers that they should praise the beauty and holiness. And then they went before the army to praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever is what they were singing. And I was like, you know, wow. Of course, we all know the story how God came in and just wiped the enemy out. And you know, if we could just visualize that whatever's coming against us to be something that it may be beyond anything we can do anything about. And, you know, here, you know, Jehoshaphat, you know, I just, it amazes me, you know, they had the army, you know, they sent the singers out in front of the army. And, you know, I was wondering, was he thinking, well, you know, God said the battle was his. Was he, you know, thinking that the army would be needed for cleanup or what? Was it just a preparation thing? But he didn't send them out in the forefront. And, of course, we know that they got all the spoils of the war that of God winning the battle. But how many times do we try to figure out what God means on things without just stopping and taking time? And that talks about that prayer to really listen and let God speak to us on what he wants to do. You know, so many times we want God to move. Well, I know when Consolidated Freightways went out of business, my prayer was and what I wanted to happen was is that a lot of the men, the actual employees of the company was trying to go through several banks and things to buy the company back from where they had separated it from the other businesses. And that was my prayer, you know, Lord, work this out, you know, so I can go back to my job. But that wasn't God's plan. But being satisfied with God's plan and then working with God's plan, that's a key to faith and worship too. And I'm probably not wording it very well. Maybe you can help me out there, Blog Talk Mom.
I know what you're saying, and I think anybody that's listening understands, because there's a process, you know, when the Lord, in that scripture, that faith comes by hearing. Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. It's this simple maybe comparison would be in eating. You've got to eat it, but it takes a while for it to turn into muscle and, you know, strength and what we need. So when we partake of the word of God and we're living for God and we're doing what we know God has required for us to do, it takes the consistency of it for us to be strong. You know, he said that faith is taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. You think about all the time it would quench every fiery dart of the enemy. That's a process. You know, everything about it is a process. You put it in action. Actually, put it in action.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking, we were trying to find that scripture. We were talking about how God inhabited the praise of his people. And when you think about that, with God inhabiting our praise, and we're needing to have faith in him, wouldn't it be key to go ahead and want God to create a habitation in where we are right now?
Right.
You know, if you're, you know, it's one thing, you know, Blog Talk Mom lives in Mississippi. She's going to send me something. You know, she's got to send it from Mississippi. It might take a while to get here. And if it's over the weekend, it might take a little bit longer. But if she's staying here at my house with me, and I'm not saying God's limited to where you can't instantly move, but just to think on it this way, if you're needing to have faith in something to lean upon and stand upon, it's a lot easier to do that when it's staying right there in your house with you, when it's right there where you're living, when it's part of your day-to-day process. You know, it's one thing to reach out where you're in close proximity to something to grab hold of it versus it being somewhere else and you're trying to get within close proximity of it. And not that God's ever moved. I remember one time I used to have this little magnet that said, if God seemed far away, who moved? You know, it's not that he's ever moved himself out of position to bless or to do the things that we need. It's because we have. And I got a little song here. I kind of came up with this for Blog Talk Mom. And when you try to think about something as to why that we should praise God, just think of the spiritual implication of the song right here, and I hope you enjoy it. Blog Talk Mom, this one's for you. hope that came through okay. It was from a live service, but it reminded me of a song Blog Talk Mom used to sing with us when we were quite young. It was a different version of that song, but you want to talk about something to be thankful for, just to realize the price that was paid for our salvation. And if we can't get excited and we can't worship over realizing that this life here, we're just a passing through. This is not our home. This is not what it's all about. But we have a future based on things that's not here. And it's based on things not seen. And it's based on things that's not really earned by what we've done with our hands. It's not we've went out there and done a great thing and, you know, to like we you have to work for a retirement or something like that. It's not like that at all. He paid the price. Jesus paid the price for our salvation. He gave of his own life, shed his own blood, took the stripes on his back, was ridiculed, was persecuted, went through all the torments of being tried as a criminal so that we could be saved for sins that were ours and not his. And if we can't get excited and really think about what's important about that, yeah, it's tough sometimes, some of the things we go through here and everything, but when you compare that to an eternal hell, outer darkness, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, burning forever and ever and ever, falling forever and ever and ever. Can you imagine that compared, you know, wow, you know, if I stub my toe here, you know, that hurts for a while, but that's no comparison to that, where you're not ever going to be burned up. It's not going to be something like, you're not going to go into shock and not feel anything after a while. So when you get to thinking about, you know, the things of God, and, you know, we mentioned something once before when we were talking about this business of mine. Sometimes people just got to make up their mind, just how bad do you want it? You know, what's it really worth to you? You know, what does it mean to have a relationship with the Almighty God where he calls you his children? And he lets us know that we are a royal priesthood, you know, that we have value to him. And when we stop and think about those things, all of a sudden these things here become trivial. When you get to realize, well, I'm having to trust God to help me with my finances, woo, big deal. You trusted him already because you had no hope for your eternal soul. So why not just go ahead and just buck up and realize, I'm going to be a man or a woman, I'm going to get a backbone here, and I'm going to stand on God's word and believe if he could take my sins away when he had no sin of his own, died on a cross, went into the grave, and 3 days later come out on his own. It wasn't like all of a sudden the rescue squad came in and came up with some CPR equipment or something like that, and when no earth-moving crews had to come in there with some big tractor or something to roll that stone away. None of that was needed. When God speaks things, it happens. When he speaks and created the world, he spoke. It wasn't that he had to struggle over these things. And it wasn't that he had to ponder over how he loved us enough to do that. And it's a love that goes beyond my comprehension. You know, I'll be the first to admit, I can't imagine loving something so much I would die for that I created. I can't imagine it. Loving something so much that it made the mistake to put themselves in hock already. It wasn't that, you know, he left us short of things to work with. You know, everything was there in the garden for man to live and forever and to have a nice life and to be right there in fellowship with God. Man disobeyed, not God. And so sometimes when we get on our high horse, like God owes me, or I'm standing on God's word, and so he has to do this for me, or I'm believing on this here because he's not a liar. He's got to do what he said he would do. I know he's an honorable God. I know some things about the characteristics of God. Sometimes we need to get there in that worship part to where we humbly get on our face before him and acknowledge that he is the Almighty God, and we appreciate him allowing us to go to him with all the things that we have as facing us, and to know that it gives him pleasure to go and do those things to help us. And so when we get to thinking things in that context, all of a sudden, you know, faith and praise kind of fit together in a different mindset there. So, Block Talk Moms, do you have anything else? We're getting here right up at the last minute.
That was very, very good. And I just pray that for everyone that's listening, that whatever they're going through, that they'll hear that what you just shared, that God doesn't, we don't We can't make him do things. We can't, that just the idea of, you know, like some people say, just praise him and it'll all come around. Well, that's sort of like you said earlier, it's manipulation. We praise him for who he is, what he's done already, and that he did die for our sins. We praise him and we adore him, and then he takes care of the rest. He'll work things out if we just seek him first with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, which is the first commandment. That's very good. I appreciate the program tonight.
Well, thank you so much for your input. We appreciate it. Starla, did you have anything right here at the end of the show? I don't see anybody. Anybody's got something they'd like to add, just push one on your phone. We're here at the end of the show, but we'd love to hear what you have to say. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to add?
No one has their hand up.
Well, did you have anything you wanted to add? I didn't want to cut you off there.
No, I think it was a really good show, and I really needed some faith building tonight.
Well, I hope that it was one of those shows that did build people's faith, and just for us to realize, you know, that what we have our hands on here is not a piggy bank. We have our hands on a relationship, and we have our hands on a relationship with someone who wants to do good for us. And when we just realize that, you know, what is it you say, Mom? We can't lose. What is it?
You can't lose what we use. May not be exactly right. I've got a quick testimony.
Go ahead.
I was usually I have my money set aside for my bills, just, you know, exactly like it should be. And a few things came up, a few little expenses, but I had gathered up my shoes because I always get them, take them to the shoe shop and have them fixed up several times before I ever throw them away. So I gathered all my shoes up, and it was going to be $100-something. So he gave me 10% off if I would pay up front. So I did. I paid up front. And I went by to pick up my shoes, and the shoe shop burned down. So I was, you know, that just happened. And that I wasn't in particularly praying about that or needing anything about it. It was just one of those things that happened. And I went to the mailbox, and there was a big check paying me $40 for 7 pair of shoes, $40 a piece. and so I just got caught up with everything. I think it's so neat how God knew way ahead of time. I'm sure glad I did pick my shoes up before they burned up. And then they reimbursed my money, too. So it's just relax and let God be God.
That's right. I got tickled. You started talking about shoes burning up. I could almost see a tear in Starla's eyes. You talk about they reimbursed you where you should go replace them. I could see a gleam coming in there. I'll tell you what, I've never seen anyone get more excited than anything in my life than when it comes to buying shoes.
That's right.
I've seen you come back on. Do you have something to add there, Starla?
No comment.
No comment?
No comment.
I told someone the other day, I said, she can smell shoe leather, and she gets that same gleam in her eyes when she smells a hot fudge sundae. It's sort of the same thing. I don't understand it, but I just give warning to anybody. If you see her with that look in her eye and you're between her and the shoe department, I would move out of the way very quickly because you will get run over. So. All right, everybody. Well, I hope it was something that everyone got from the show tonight. I want to thank everyone that called in and listened to the show, and for those that listened into the archives. And there again, we're still taking, you know, you got a request for someone you'd like to be a guest speaker on our show or for a topic, just be sure to send us a message. We'll be, you know, glad to bring them on. And we'll all just continue to pray for each other and know that we're not alone. None of us are an island, that when we apply God's math to what's going on, He's given us power to be more than an overcomer, and we just need to remember that. So I love each and every one of you. Praise you. Have a blessed night. We'll be back next week.